The Get Down is brought to you by Digital Music Pool. Digital Music Pool is the ultimate record pool for professional DJs looking for the hottest tracks and exclusive hits updated daily in an easy-to-use platform. You can find exclusive edits from myself, Cream, Adam B., Andrew Marks, Angelo the Kid, Armin Averro, Chumpion, Dan FX, Castra, Pat C, and Samus J only on DMP. And we're giving you a chance to try their service for just $9.99 for the first month. All you have to do is click the link in the show notes or on the Get Down or Cream Instagram pages, create an account, and enter the promo code CREAM at checkout for your discounted month. DMP is my go-to record pool for new and exclusive music to play in my sets. So become a member for just $9.99 for the first month with the code CREAM and check it out for yourself. Click the link in the show notes or on the Get Down or Cream Instagram pages to sign up now. You will not be disappointed. If you love listening to The Get Down, you will love the video version of our show on YouTube even more. With all new audio and video upgrades, we've taken the show to the next level. On YouTube, you get to see our facial expressions, hand gestures, and real passion we have for this industry and for helping you grow your DJ business. Click the link in the show notes or on the Get Down Instagram page to watch the podcast now or search Get Down DJs on YouTube. We would greatly appreciate if you subscribe to our channel, like, and comment any questions you might have that we could bring up on the show. This episode, we have DJ, producer, and Perari Production Academy founder and instructor, Perari, on the show. Perari's released original music on Hardwell's Revealed, Laidback Luke's Mix Mash, Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike's Smash the House record labels, and has helped his students release countless more records over the last few years. We discuss what it's like to transfer his focus from his own music and DJ career to that of his students, the importance of Miami Music Week and some highlights from this year, and finally, a deep dive on the current state of dance music and where he thinks the sound is headed. Let's get into this episode of The Get Down with Perari. What's up, guys? We're back. We had just had a great conversation with Angelo the Kid. We have our next guest, Perari. Welcome.
Woo! Back. Where are the sound effects, guys? I told you last time we need some soundboards, some claps, some sirens
so
going
funny.
Off.
Because we, know? I did
the sound effects with Angelo. Out of my mouth.
We alluded to this on the Angelo conversation no more than 3 minutes ago on this video. So
gotta call us out. That's why.
That'll be a good Christmas gift to give you guys. I'm gonna get you guys a stream deck. I'm gonna load them up with sound effects and everything from like Serato sampler, and then you could just fire them off when the guest comes up.
So we're all coming off Miami. We spent pretty much the whole time together. We stayed together this year, and you know, I was only in town for, and Gary were only in town for a couple days, but we pretty much hung out the entire time, and it was business the whole time, right? We had high level business conversations and meetings and interactions for the whole 2 days.
Oh yeah, it was a good time. I mean, I love hanging out with you guys. I love being down there with you guys. It's just such a fresh change of scene with the sun after being in the winter the whole time, and then just the music is on a whole nother level. I know Gary really loves hearing the diversity of music down there, as do I, but I know Gary, that's like his heart and soul right there. But really, it is, it's such a good time. I look forward to it every year. It's the best.
So I think things have changed a bunch for you personally, whereas in years past, I mean, you were going down there strictly for Perari and for your pursuing, you know, your artist goals and solely focusing on just one person. Whereas now you're going down there representing yourself, but also representing Perari Production Academy and all the guys, the growing army of producers that you're helping to build. So how has that changed for you?
Yeah. I mean, this year was special. You know, going down there since I was 18 years old, we talked about this before, but all my friends used to go on spring break. So Cancun, Bahamas, wherever the spring break was. But for me, I've always wanted this life. I've dreamt about this since I was 13. So I knew that in March, there was no such thing as spring break. You had to be in Miami. And, you know, growing up, I was the kid you know, going backstage or sneaking backstage, handing out USB sticks, trying to link up with the artists. And this year was so special because I think there was 16 of the Ferrari Production Academy students compared to last year where there was maybe three or four. There were 16 guys there. Some new, some very well seasoned in the academy. And I've taken on the role now where, yeah, I mean, people still come up to me. They recognize me as an artist, which is awesome. But I felt more like the dad or like the camp leader per se, where I was, you know, going around, not just really introducing myself, but introducing, hey, so-and-so from X label, you should talk to one of my students right here. I teach him production. He does music that you would be interested in, and kind of facilitating all of those relationships, that, you know, I've made in the past with these guys and still utilizing the same tactics, going down there with the plan, hitting the right parties, you know, trying to know who's who and what role they are, you know, not trying to talk to maybe the artist, but maybe find the A&R that's there. And it was really, really special this year. I'm really proud of the guys and they did, you know, more than I could ever ask for from them this year. So
in an industry where a lot of interactions are made online between artists, how do you find out who those A&Rs are and those record execs? Like you have to do your homework, obviously, right?
And yeah, I mean, it's just about doing homework. I mean, for me, you know, growing up so involved in this industry, it was like whenever I saw Hardwell make a post, for example, I tried to see who was always consistent in those posts. Was it like the guys in the background? And, you know, you kind of pick up on that stuff once you get, I guess, more into the industry. You'll see those same faces all the time. You'll kind of just start a random conversation and then find out who they are. But yeah, it's really about doing your homework. I mean, a lot of the guys, you know, were invested into Armada, which was a great label and or still is a great label. And, you know, we're at this Fountain Blue party on with Digital Music Pool and the EDMAs on Friday. And who walks in is Armin van Buuren. Now, Armin walks in with this giant posse, right? I mean, you guys remember, he looked like God walking in. And people are filming him.
The energy changed
now,
in the whole place.
Yeah, it was like, oh my God, Armin's just walking through the pool party. I could touch him. But, you know, you had to look at who was around him, right? And every single artist in this entire industry has a team. And that's what, you know, kind of generates the success for them. But, you know, a lot of the DJs, the young, naive DJs, which they weren't my students, but I saw a couple of them try and run up to Armin and be like, hey, Armin, here's my USB. Here's my USB. But meanwhile, they didn't know that one of the head A&Rs from Armada was there the entire time and nobody knew who he was. I mean, we even went to Spinning Pool Party on Wednesday and the head A&R, the guy you got to know at Spinning, is just walking around the pool, making sure the stage looks good. And now one artist went up to him and I was like, this is crazy. Like, but it really takes doing the homework, like you said, Garrett, to find out who these people are and make sure you go up to them and say, hey, what's up, man? I'm so-and-so, putting the face to the name. And you know, maybe down the line, maybe at that moment, it won't make any sense, but down the line when you're sending demos, oh yeah, I met that guy at Spinning Pool Party. I remember him. He was so nice. Makes a whole difference.
It's wild down there because those guys are usually just walking around. There's really not too many people talking to them all the time. With the artists, somebody's talking to those artists all the time because they're so face forward, right?
Yeah.
Those back end guys, like, yeah, they're just kind of perusing around, talking to some people here and there. It's like you can really maximize great time right there.
It's kind of like the, like being naive as a young artist, you just don't know, right? But the more you do it, the more that, you know, you'll get to it. And, you know, my guys, I always say, you guys are, you know, lucky you have me because I'm pointing these guys out to you and telling you, like, it took me maybe 8-9 years to find out who these people were. And I'm saying, hey, you should go talk to him. That's the A&R of Armada. That's the A&R of Spinning. And it, you know, it changes the whole dynamic of it. So
peeling back the curtain for the guys. But I think that's such a great point as far as really finding the person who can actually make the decision. And this goes for whether you're a DJ, whether you're a producer, what in whatever you're trying to accomplish, you can go and pitch yourself and sell yourself and give your music to anyone. But if it's not the person that can actually make the decision, what's the point? You're wasting your time. So doing that homework and being prepared and taking that extra step, right? We talked a lot with Angelo about taking the extra step for in anything that he's working on, but taking that extra step and doing that extra homework, doing a little work behind the scenes is going to set you apart and set you up for success so that you are talking to the actual decision maker and the person that can really help you.
How many times have we sat down in our early booking career and sat down with like the manager and was like, okay, like this is what we can do for you guys. And like, all right, cool. You get it from the beginning. They're like, let me talk to the owner. It's like, shit, yeah. I just wasted an hour of my time.
Right. Right. Exactly. So that's, I mean, it goes with anything. Like, you're trying to get a job, right? You're trying to find out who the guy that's hiring is, right? Well, if you're really about this life, why aren't you trying to find the person that's going to sign your records or that'll sign you to the label? Like, it's the same thing. It's just the naiveness of like the younger talent just straight going to the DJs when the artists like just sit there and make the music and, you know, they're the face of the brand, but they're not doing all the other stuff. It's the team around them. And that's one of the biggest things I try to teach my guys this year was talk to the other guys around the artist. The artist isn't going to do much except for saying, hey, thanks for the music and, you know, nice to meet you. And that's it. And moving on. So
I love this part of Ferrari Production Academy that brings a lot more than just production, right?
Yeah.
You're getting a 101 or better probably in all aspects of this business. And
it's not even people like always, and I got friends, like my wife's friends, they always say Ferrari Production Academy. Oh, what is it? A DJ school? Like you teach them how to DJ? No. Yes. We can teach you how to DJ. We make music. Like that's our primary thing. But I think the biggest thing that the guys get out of this is the coaching aspect of it. You know, I'm on you 24/7. Like, you know, do this. Are you following up with this guy? Are you doing this? I'm coaching you along the way to get you to the steps that you need to be at. And that's where this school is different from every other school. You buy a YouTube video. Yeah, they'll teach you how to program a kick. They'll teach you how to sidechain 8 different ways, just like I do, right? But they're not the ones coaching you along this journey to get you where you need to be. And I think that's the biggest thing is the one-on-one coaching aspect of it, like you said.
You know what? And we talked about this a lot at dinner when we were in Miami, but what you're doing with the Ferrari Production Academy and what we're doing with Get Down, and there's a lot of a crossover, right? So there's DJs that want to be producers and vice versa where we're working together. And it's like, where else in the country can you work with Get Down and work with Ferrari Production Academy and get what all of our guys get? And like you said, it's not necessarily, this is how you mix two songs together, right? It's everything else that goes into being successful and not just being a DJ or a producer, but actually being a business and like understanding all these little things, right? We talked about the gatekeeper and the decision maker and all those things that you can't learn from a YouTube video. You could only learn from experience and living it and going through it and dealing with it and using that stuff to help these younger guys. And I'm really proud of what we're creating here separately, but also working together. And like I said, I don't think anyone else in the country is doing what we do. And we're going to start seeing a lot of these young artists blowing up.
Yes.
You know,
it's only a matter of time. There's like a book, right? And it's an invisible book, I call it. And it's the rule book of how to make relationships in this industry, how to be a DJ, how to do this, how to do that. Now, this podcast is literally you're giving chapters out to these DJs from this book, right? The only way you have that you could have access to this book is by writing your own chapters. You're giving these chapters out for free on this podcast. So like, it's such invaluable information that just Get Down is doing for the younger generation as well. Like it's even, I think Garrett, we talked about this a long time ago in Miami, but we talked about like the early Hoboken nightlife and how you used to have to go out in like a collared shirt and jeans. And I remember that time. And at that time, you know, there were promoters that you had to talk to for bookings. You know, it was very hard to fill your DJ calendar. And then what you guys do for these guys is absolutely amazing. I mean, you're filling their calendars up. They come out of their bedroom, they work with Get Down, and boom, their calendars are filled like that. That took me years to develop relationships and bookers and contacting them. So what you guys give is gold, you know? And like you said, there's no one really doing that in this aspect around our market at all.
I don't think any market.
Any market.
I'm
any
saying market. The combination of
and I'm just talking about the US.
Of both of us. Like, so, you know, we never, I don't like to pat ourselves on the back, but I'm really proud of what we're building here in New Jersey in a market where, and New York, but in a market where it was so splintered and so cutthroat and so competitive and hard to break into. I think we've created something that's better. You know, it's better for the industry as a whole, and I'm really excited about where we could take some of the artists. And listen, these guys are all, and girls are doing all the work that they need to do on the back end to help them grow. But
definitely,
I think it's
just about paying your dues. You know, it's really what it's all about. And it's funny because I ran into a DJ this weekend. I was playing at Birch this weekend, and I ran into a DJ I haven't seen in a long time. And I remember that I used to be deathly scared of this guy. I mean, you know, he was just intimidating as hell. I don't think that when I was 18 and I had my first residency at Bliss, I was necessarily welcome there. I think I was looked at as like the new guy. And then, you know, I saw him the other night. We took a shot. We had a great conversation, and he basically apologized for being a dick back then all those years, but saying how awesome, like, of the DJ that I became. Like, it was such the biggest compliment. And I came home, and I don't care if the night was so busy or so slow that night. That was the moment of my night, is that one of the guys was like, dude, I respect everything you're doing, how you're helping the upcoming guys. When you were upcoming, I was just mean to you. And that's the way it was. You had to be a dick because the guys before me were dicks, and you had to kind of earn that respect. And he goes, but what you're doing is you're teaching the other guys how to have that invisible book and pay their dues and do it in the right way, the proper way, let's call it. And that was such a cool moment for me this Saturday night, but it goes back to everything you guys said.
We've created accessibility to one another, right?
Yeah.
To this younger generation, and to do it in a way where we're not intimidating, hopefully.
Yeah.
Because that was the worst part of coming up as a DJ, was like trying to walk into those rooms, and especially somebody that's like I'm... Now I'm much better, but when I was younger, like, I was super quiet, wasn't talking to anybody, and I'd walk in and like I'd stare at Chachi for like 4 hours DJ, right? And that's before you stared at a DJ, you know,
right?
And
they were in the corner,
you know. Yeah, I like stood in the corner with, like, my vodka soda and like just watched the DJ, you know, and like, yep. That's kind of what I did, because like I knew if I ever approached that person, like, he was just gonna be like, who the fuck are you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think we've created some accessibility, and I think it showed, at Miami Music Week. I think we had like, gosh, between Ferrari Production Academy and Get Down, maybe like 15, 16 people down there.
You gotta look at that picture we took. There's like 40 people in that one picture. Yeah. I don't know who has it. Maybe Be Nice has it, I think, but we gotta get that picture. It was a great picture.
Probably
a lot of guys are
selling
it.
But like, yeah, I mean, I think the proof was right there at Miami Music Week, and how the accessibility and, you know, just giving guys the playbook, is producing something, you know.
Definitely.
We'll see what that thing is, but definitely something.
So let me ask you, how's it been to really transition just as Ferrari the artist to Ferrari the coach? And like, are you struggling with your time as far as, all right, I need to spend time on my stuff, and all right, I'm going to set this other time aside for my students? Because for me, it's a challenge sometimes where Get Down sometimes takes over my life and the cream stuff gets put on the back burner. So how's it been for you?
The exact same. You know, it was a tough transition because I was also trying to transition my artist career as well. You know, I was doing a lot of open format gigs. I was doing like DJing, you know, I mean, you guys know I had two accounts in Hoboken. I was booking the DJs there, and I was DJing 3, 4, 5 times a week even. And, you know, COVID hit and that all stopped. And when it came back, I didn't want to do that anymore. So I kind of made this transition of, actually, I heard an interview with, I think it was DJ Spider and James Hype. And I was sitting in the airport touring, going somewhere. And it really resonated with me on DJ Spider's podcast. And he basically talks about how James Hype had to take a step back from the open format gigs. Yeah, you're making a lot of money. Yeah, you're the star of your town or whatever, but you got to take a step back in order to get those higher rates and, you know, to become an artist, because you can't be playing those open format gigs and expect to become an artist. It's just not going to happen because, you know, you're this $300 DJ. Well, how are you going to ever be a $600 DJ if you stay this $300 DJ? So that was a big change, you know, going from playing, I don't know, 20 gigs a month to now I play 2, maybe 3. But they're, you know, more higher up gigs. They definitely pay more. And I get booked more as an artist rather than, you know, this guy who could just sit here and play 5 hours and play all the music. But then with the Academy as well, it freed up so much of my time by playing less with the Academy, but somehow I still have no time. And that's been the biggest, hardest transition for me, trying to delegate my time to my students. And I always say, like, if I could clone myself and give one of myself to everybody, I'd be a happy man. But, you know, it's hard, especially right before weeks like Miami when everybody's finishing music and tugging on me. Yo, Mikey, I need an hour. I need an hour. I need an hour. And I physically can't. Like, there's some days where I can't even, like, hang out with my wife because I'm so locked in this studio now. So, you know, I think the biggest thing again now, like you guys have, is just finding the right team with the Academy. I'm looking to take on maybe new teachers or collaborating with other guys that have academies and bringing them on. I kept talking about the course being recorded. That's finally happening this year. This way I could kind of delegate my time to the guys that need it more. And if you don't need it, you could have this resource to go to. But it's been tough, man. I mean, you know, I don't know how you guys do it. I'm learning a lot from you guys trying to manage through this, you know, with my own business. So
you're relatively new in the business side of it, right? So
yeah,
I mean, we're 5 or 6 years in at this point, and we're still transitioning into different SOPs and different, you know, whenever you, every aspect of the business is changing almost monthly.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's just, it becomes very, very hard to adapt, but it is taking those steps to make your business and your life easier, even if they might seem a little scary at first, right? And it's going to take you a little learning to move on to that next thing, whatever it might be. But, you know, it's just tough. It's not easy being alone, you know.
It's not.
And I don't envy you at all, because, like, Kareem and I have a lot of back and forth, right? Like, I'm sure sometimes you sit there and it feels very overwhelming.
It is. And there's some weeks where, you know, I burn out. And that's one thing that you'll experience as an artist or a business owner. It's just a burnout, right? There's highs and lows to everything. But the one thing that I did realize is when I am having a burnout, you do have to take a step back. You got to kind of reset, whether it's taking a vacation or just taking a week off, and then you come back to it and it feels just like riding a bike. You come back to it. As far as the Academy, like, you know, you guys have each other to bounce off of. I don't really have anybody. And that's one of the things I'm kind of trying to accomplish this year, is bringing on a team. Like, I know Angelo, the kid, is going to come on as a teacher to teach edits exclusively. This way I could kind of free up my time, you know, not really focusing on the edits and mashups. While it's all part of the Academy, it's not something that I'm primarily focusing on. So you have a great editor like Angelo come in who could, you know, do X, Y, and Z with the edits. I am looking up to partner up with a couple other guys. Can't really say much in the works, but, you know, it's going to be more of a collective in a school where I have different guys with different experiences doing different things. And, you know, it'll bring a lot more to the table, just besides the production aspect of it, but just like the business side as well, with the relationships they have, or the labels they have relationships with, and all of the above.
Just real quick, last question about this. From, like, a producer's perspective, do you feel like the bringing those people on, obviously, you know, their production style, et cetera, but, like, you know, their style's obviously going to be a little different from yours. Do you feel like you're going to be, like, a little standoffish about some of the stuff?
Nobody's
going to
teach
out
it like me. You know, nobody's going to teach it like me. It's just, it's that's what it comes down to. But, you know, there are producers that, you know, are really, really talented. And hey, if they could teach you a better way than me, you know, so be it. There's no rules in music. So if there's a better way, learn it. But as long as they're getting the job done, these guys are learning, that's what I care about.
I think we had a very separate parts of, like, our businesses. And we're on a similar trajectory where before COVID, things were happening, whatever. Then we had this long break and this time to strategize about what are we going to do when we open up? And then once we finally opened up, it was like a sprint, right? Everybody was just like, grow, 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 more accounts, more DJs. Like, it was just a constant flow of more, more, more. And I think you've kind of gone through the same thing. And just from our experience, some of the best time we put to use was setting some things in place that we didn't have to deal with some of the lower end stuff, right? DJ equipment at venues, you know, all the processes that we had put in place, like the scheduling app and the communications and Discord and all these things that take time. But once they're in place, it allows you, the business owner, to focus more on the high-end things, right? The actual teaching and coaching or ways that you can grow the business. And I think for you, like getting the video shot and the course shot so that you can say, hey, you're not ready for this high-level one-on-one Ferrari mentorship, but take this course. It's a little less money. And you see if the artist or producer is going to really commit to it and put that time and effort in. And if they do, they then now earn the right to be able to get your one-on-one time because it is so valuable. And I think you're doing all the right things. And I think, you know, you went through that sprint process and now it's like, all right, get all the processes, get the team in place, and you're going to just blow once all that stuff is...
Yeah, thanks, man. I mean, done. Like, again, look, with COVID, we're hitting 3 years of the Production Academy in 3 days, April 6th. And with COVID, there was never really a lull time. It was kind of just like COVID hit and boom, I hit the sprint. Like, so I just went running and here we are 3 years later and it's still going, you know? But I mean, you said everything, you hit the nail on the head. Like it's just about finding the right artists too that are committed to this program. I've dealt with a lot of artists obviously in the last 3 years and, you know, some of them are merely just doing this because it's the cool thing to do right now, right? I feel like, and I've made Instagram posts about this and I've talked on Instagram about this, but I feel like especially in our market, New Jersey guys are obsessed with being the best in New Jersey, but nowhere else, right? They want to be the best in New Jersey. So if they see Angelo the Kid producing and Solano and Sean Magda and these guys are getting all the success, right? They're like, oh, well, I better hit a Ferrari because I better produce. But they don't necessarily want to do that. I mean, these guys are producing because they love to produce. They love the music they make. You know how many producers I meet and they're like, oh man, I hate the music that I make. Like, you know, like I don't want to be making this music. I want to be making X, Y, and Z music. Like they don't even like dance music and it's not a passion of theirs. So do it because you want to do it. And if you want to be the biggest in New Jersey, that's all cool. If that's your goal, then do it. But you know, it's about the consistency with this. Don't do it because it's the cool thing to do right now. And you see the success of X, Y, and Z guys. And Kareem, I know you probably have seen this with edits, right? You know, edits start becoming big. And then how many people were making edits? All of a sudden, everybody does it. Then the next thing happens, producing. Now everybody wants to produce. But I'm looking for artists who are in this for the long game, not the short game. Don't take 3 lessons and then be done with it, right? Be here for the long game. And I can tell you from experience, it will be way more worth your while to do it for the long game than the short game, especially as an artist.
It's interesting. You know, we meet a lot of the things that we deal with mirror, right? We just in different worlds, our side on the DJ side and your side on the production side. But we fight with the same thing of like finding the DJs that are committed and really want to be better DJs and really want to grow and understand all these things that are important. And it's like, How do you choose those people? How do you choose who to push and who maybe doesn't have the commitment?
I mean, there's certain signs. You see it from their work ethic, from their questions they ask. They're willing to learn. Like, you know, you kind of just get these signs from somebody and be like, you know, this is the guy. I mean, there's one guy that particularly just pops out into my head, which is Solano. And Solano, you know, at first, I wasn't really sure about his commitment. It was like brand new with COVID. He was like a new DJ on the scene. And, you know, he was... He was 50-50 for me, but I took him on and we started working together. And then there was a turning point, maybe about 6 or 7 months into the production thing. And it was like, how do I do this? How is he making these types of leads? How, you know, and he was just following those steps, being like, being an artist, really, like asking the right questions. And you look at what he's doing in his career now, he has giant, giant remixes coming out. You got to hear his new stuff. I mean, you even texted me one time. You're like, dude, every time Solano sends me something, I'm like, oh my God. But, you know, now it's like I see the drive and the commitment in a student like that, and I'm taking him into overdrive. Boom. Like you're going somewhere now. And it's been, you know, great working with a kid like him because he has so much talent, and to find that talent and then, you know, bring it to the forefront and give it growth is the most gratifying experience for me as a teacher, as I'm sure it is for you guys when you season a DJ with talent.
So from an ex coach for a long time and an ex teacher, something that I took away with from a couple of things that you said is that sometimes it does take three sessions for somebody to realize if it's for them or not, right?
Right.
And then if it is for them, then it maybe takes another 3, 6, 10 sessions to really develop the passion for it, right? I've had students that or players that like, okay, they were okay basketball players, let's say, but they, you know, you could see there's like a glimmer of passion, but it took like the right, you push the right buttons, right? And you ask the right questions with them, and then they start asking the right questions back. And then that's where like the real drive and motivation comes from. So it's important for us and Cream, even for us as bookers, to let those guys grow a little bit and get their feet wet and then understand like kind of what the process is all about, whether it be production or be DJing, and understand that like you have to start somewhere small and then kind of develop into the artist that you're or DJ that you're going to become. We have to have the patience, right?
Right. It's just finding that talent and kind of exploiting it to them and showing them that, yo, you have this talent, do it in this way and you could be something huge. And again, I can't describe it in any other way besides the word gratifying. Like, it's gratifying for me to see these guys do their own thing. And just to see them in Miami, I mean, you know, we're chilling at the Fountain Blue pool party and all of a sudden a Solano track's playing and an Olive Oil track's playing. And then I see them, they're like, oh my God, look, they get their phone out. They're all excited. And you know, for me, yeah, I'm just smiling on the inside knowing that like I facilitated that and they're in a different state and they don't even know about all the other 49 states or 48 states besides New Jersey and Miami or Florida, sorry, where their music is being played. And that's like the most gratifying experience for me.
That's awesome. That part of it is really, I think it's just satisfying for Gary and I. It's to see the people that we're working with see success and get excited, right?
Yeah.
And like, I think part of that growth process, even if in the very early stages where someone just starts working with you, I think it's really important to point out the small wins for those guys and girls because they are looking at people like Solano and Angelo and, you know, some of the other guys and Dario and some of these other guys who are seeing success but have been in the game a while and putting in that work. Sometimes I think it's going to be overwhelming for those younger, less experienced people to be like, well, I'm just starting. So like, how do I get all the way up there? And I think it's really important to cultivate those small wins so that they start to feel like they're growing and getting better and seeing some success. And I think that's such an important thing. And for me, that always drove me to want to work harder or try something new. And I think as coaches, it's really important for us to understand, you know, how those people tick and how to push them and push those right buttons. And everyone's a little bit different. And that's the hard part of being a coach, right? There's no playbook.
You're right, though.
Everybody's different. Yeah, go ahead, Gar.
You're right, though. Everybody's different, but that positive reinforcement makes everybody come back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's if you're a golfer and it's that one, you could hit 99 bad shots. You had that one good one. I'm coming back and playing again next week.
And everybody's different. And I always thought in my career, like, and I've seen a lot of my friends become giant DJs, Mac J, Riggy Impiros, 4B, A Vision. Like, and I always thought I had to do what they did to become big, or like when I was trying to follow or catch up to them, I thought I had to do what they did. And it took me like maybe 8 years into the game to realize that everybody's path is different. And it's all the little stepping stones. That little small win you had by getting your track played by this guy, that leads to the next three steps. And then you take another step and you keep going up the ladder until you finally get there. And it took me a long, long time to realize that. And now I kind of know my role, my place, and where I need to be and where I need to go from here because of all of those little wins and all those little small victories that have happened in my career.
Small victories turn into big wins, though.
Exactly.
You know, when you look back over the course of a year, if you're getting small wins every week, one small win, two, three, over the course of a year, if you're getting a small win every week, that's a lot of wins.
And that will help the timing, right? Win. Like, a lot of people are impatient and they want the success. Boom, boom. It happens like that. But it's the time. And the more you work, the more small wins you get, the more you're going to climb up the ladder. And that's all really what it's about. But time is such a big thing too. And you don't want to feel like you're wasting your time, but at the same time, you know, you want to go as fast as possible. And that's one thing I love to teach my guys is that, you know, time is on your side. the more you keep working, the more time you put in, you'll go up that ladder a little bit faster. But if you don't put that work in, yeah, it will seem like it's a stretch or it's a long time. So, you know, it's a cultivation of all of those things. And a lot of guys don't realize that, but I think more are starting to realize it now.
If you're listening and you're saying to yourself like, man, I've been trying production and I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing the wins. I don't feel like I'm not getting better. Or you've been DJing and you're still playing the same places. Just realize it takes way longer than you think it's going to take to take the next step. And if you stick with it, you're going to start seeing the wins, right? Maybe you're not seeing them as quickly as you want, but the patience and just going to work every single day, I'm telling you, you're going to see a win and it's going to motivate you. And then you're going to look back and be like, holy shit, I just jumped up like a whole level in my DJ career where I'm now, I just got great feedback at this opportunity in New York City and now I'm a regular there. And it's like, a year ago, I was ready to quit because I wasn't seeing it. I was just playing the local bar. So just be patient and stick with it. I think that's like that's the best advice I could give to anybody that is coming up, is be patient and keep working at it.
I think it's really important to never measure yourself against somebody that like maybe started before you or started after you even. That's even more important, right?
Right.
You need to go at your own pace. And that's the only way you're ever going. You're only going to make progress at your own pace. Yeah, you could push and try to expedite it, but that's not always the case. There are going to be people that are like, hey, I've been in the game for 8 years. This guy's been DJing for a year, producing for 2 years, and he's already playing the biggest spots in my market. Well, it just happens that way. It's always happened that way, and you just have to do things your own way and figure out your own lane.
There's a great quote by Jimmy Iovine that I love from the Defiant Ones, and he talks about horse racing, right? And he goes, you know why horses have blinders on their eyes? He goes, because if they look to the left or the right, they miss a beat, they fall. And it shows this image of like this one horse that looks to the left, he trips and he trips up all the other horses behind him. And then you see that one horse just kind of going off to the race. And I tell my guys that all the time. Like if you are comparing your success to the guy to the left of you and the right of you, you're already losing the game. You're tripping up yourself. You have to keep your head down and just move in one direction. And that's it. And I can't wait to get that quote and hang it up on this wall right here, this empty wall in my new studio, because it really is one of my favorite quotes and I live by it, you know? So I want to remind myself about that every day when I come into this big, beautiful new studio that like, boom, you know, I'm in my own lane. I built this studio. I got to this point, not, you know, by comparing myself to this guy and this guy. I got here.
I mean, we just had Angelo on, right? I think a lot of people compare themselves in our market to Angelo because he grew so quickly and he's done these big things. But what people don't see is what Angelo was doing every single day behind the scenes to be able to grow that quickly. So you see this successes sometimes and then you automatically try to compare, but you don't really see what's happening behind the scenes and how much work's getting put in.
Tip of the iceberg, right? You see the tip of the iceberg, but you see all the bottom part of the iceberg that's ginormous and massive. Like a lot of guys even come up to me and they don't even know that I had this whole Mikey P artist brand before I had Ferrari. And they're like, yo, I just heard of you, Ferrari, blah, blah. I'm like, man, I had a whole career under Mikey P that like grew me to this artist Ferrari, you know? And I've been doing this for 13, 14 years. It's like insane, but
I'm laughing because like, so there's been like four things that we've talked about I literally made the exact tip of the iceberg thing on when we were talking with Angelo. Talk about something different. And like, it's just really funny that we're on the same page with how we look at the industry and the business. And, you know, I think that's why we work so well together is because we really are all on the same page and it's just really refreshing.
Because we have the same chapters from that invisible book. So if you're a young producer or DJ, take out your notepad, take out your iPhone, write this stuff down because this is the stuff that you could put that we're giving to you in your invisible book right here. Just learn from it, man. And it's just similar mindsets. We come from the same cloth.
Yeah. So, all right. So most of this conversation we've had has been all business and, you know, our high end stuff, but I want to end this just talking a little bit about music because something that we talked about when we were at the 4B show, you had sent 4B some music from one of the students in the production academy, and I thought he gave incredible advice. So
yeah,
Tell the audience what that advice was and why it's so important.
So we kind of like, again, Bobby and I started producing probably around the same time growing up, DJing Abyss, Surf Club, and all those things. And I forget who may have told us this. I'm not sure who it was. And something I tell my guys all the time is when it comes to remixing, right? Everybody, you know, a new song comes out, and because music is so accessible now and production is so accessible, so many guys pop on to be the first remix, right? But the biggest piece of advice that, you know, we've gotten, and I forget who told us that, is don't be the first remix, be the best remix, right? So there was a situation where the song came out and, you know, I had a producer in the academy. Yo, I want to remix it. And he's rushing it. Can I get 4 hours this week? Can I get 5 hours this week? I'm like, dude, take your time with it. It's going to come out good, but whatever. Anyway, song comes out. It's completely rushed. That was my biggest advice as a coach for him was, hey, man, this is rushed. You sure you want to put this out? Yes, yes, yes. Boom. So he goes, he sends it to 4B. We send it to him. Literally the same exact thing comes out. Yo, this sounds rushed was the feedback, right? But then you compare it to all of his other stuff that was well-produced, taking the time. And I think Bobby played one of the other ones that night. But don't be the first remix. Be the best remix. And that will take you farther. I think quality over quantity will take you farther than anything. I mean, I did a remix. One of my biggest remixes as Mikey P was Seven Nation Army. Now, how many times you go into a club and hear Seven Nation Army, right? Boom, 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 right? It's all the same. But my remix was the best remix, in my opinion. Every time you walk into a club, you're hearing my rendition of it because I made the best remix for the peak hour set times. Still, to this day, 7-8 years later, Marshmello's playing it, Diplo's playing it, everybody, because that's the one. And I think, you know, everybody's done it already, but because that was the best version of it, that's why it succeeded. And I think that was a big lesson for him and for all my other guys. And you know, I kind of made an announcement to my students, don't rush. There's no rush to put out this remix and that remix and that remix. Just try and be the best you could possibly be. Be the best version of yourself, not the quick way.
Those redundant remixes, I feel like that I always hold on to, like, I'll find a favorite and I'll hold on to it for years.
Yeah.
You know, like it, and 100 people will do it after that. And 100 people have done it before that. But like you find the one that kind of fits your set, and everybody's going to have
always work
a different opinion on it. But like, yeah, like they become just mainstays, because if everybody's remixing it, it's a mainstay in everybody's set, obviously. Right. So if you do a good job, it can be something that is played for years and years and years.
It's like that Where You Are record, John Summit, right? Like, came out, all of a sudden I got five guys. Yo, I want to remix it. Well, why? That's, it's like one of those songs where you just don't touch it, you know? Yeah. It's a great record as it is. People don't want to hear your remix with the weird drop to it. And if you do, like, it's got to be better than the original, because otherwise I'm just playing the original. Like, just don't touch it. And there's only one guy that I know of that literally will remix anything that comes out, like, right away, and it's A1. So unless your name is Vandal on the track, do not be the first remixer, because I don't know what Vandal's got in his studio, but he touches something and it's just boom, it's gold, and I'm playing it, you know? But he's got it down to a formula like that, and he's got his style, and that's what works for him. So
are you seeing anything like musically that's kind of like trending right now as a as a teacher?
For me, a lot of, like, last year it was all, I want to make house music. Okay. Now it's like people are getting bored of that house craze. I mean, Miami this year was heavily, heavily house music. But the cool thing I like about Miami is that you get a sneak peek of the new stuff that people have been cooking all winter that, yeah, you're getting a sneak peek of it by being in Miami or listening to the live streams or whatever, but that music will start coming out, you know, 5, 6, 7 months later. Huge, huge genre that I think is going to evolve this year is going to be techno/melodic techno. Classic example is last year when Hardwell came out with this new sound, so many people were like, ugh, this style stinks. I hate this. But all of a sudden this year, the talk of the town is Hardwell's Ultra Set. Like, it was so good. It's because people now are, you know, kind of getting the techno stuff. They're kind of accepting it a little bit more. So techno is going to be big. That rolling bassline melodic techno style has also been very big. I think that, you know, with the John Summit guys doing it and the Tale of Us stuff, I think that style is going to make a big explosion this year. And I'm curious to see where it goes from there. There's always like that one record that does it for everybody, right? Yeah. Like that's, oh man, that record just changed everything for everybody. And I'm curious to see where it goes the rest of the year.
Do you think the John Summit record could be that record?
It's early on in the year. I'm kind of curious to see what comes on after it. But I mean, you could clearly see that that melodic, euphoric, like almost like, remember how progressive house used to hit you in the feels, right? Like the big Nicky Romero records or Payback, like Steve Angelo, like those big, like it's
just
that, but now underground.
Too. Where that stuff like really hits.
It's coming back. I think people are coming back to the feeling of like that euphoric feeling and not so much after the drop. I think people are sick of the drop, you know, right now.
That's a genre that just stays in my rotation. So it's interesting to see. And I always feel bad for the guys that have been going so hard at it for so long. And then like somebody like John Summit pops on the scene and becomes the biggest, you know, artist.
Right.
And it's like, well, those guys that have been grinding out for the last 15 years, waiting for their genre to break. And now they're still got to go and grind. But like, it gives them more opportunity to possibly make that next big record, right?
Exactly. And it's just about doing the same thing, like, and sticking to your thing. The producers that jump from like future house to bass house to this to that, like, it doesn't really do much for them because, you know, music comes in cycles, just like fashion. Like, you know, you see what's happening in fashion right now. 90s trends are coming back. Baggy jeans and cargo pants are coming back. It's the same thing with music, right? Like, the style that was once not popular anymore will come back, and the guys that have been doing that style and getting to be the best they could be at it, this is their moment now. And now those guys are kind of making their way, and it just happens like that. And it's the trend chasing of the producers that like just chase the trends. Yeah, you'll gain a little success from it, from coattailing from X, Y, and Z guys, but don't you want to be the guy that has been grinding at that style for years and you're getting a success because people are genuinely interested in your sound or your music that you've been honing for the last 10, 15 years and not just doing it because it's X, Y, and Z trend, you know?
It's an interesting perspective because we had an exact opposite conversation with Angelo.
Oh yeah. You
know? Yeah. Because we were saying, oh, like look at Tiesto. He's jumped genres when trends have changed, you know, 140 BPM trance into,
there's,
know,
some guys that are good with that. Because they're tastemakers. Like Tiesto's a tastemaker, like just right. Like Diplo is. Like whatever he's playing is what everybody else is going to play. So, you know, when they see it happening, yeah, I mean, for sure, they could jump ship and they'll be good at it, you know?
Right.
But I think it's as an artist that's doing something new or you're trying to present something to the world, it's so important to make a 50-50 blend of that. Like Stay true to what you're doing. Like if it's big room, right? Stay true to big room music, but it's not going to be the big room music like Epic or, you know, some of those other big room tracks, Cannonball or whatever. It's now you have to combine those big room sounds with what's popular. And for me, that's techno, melodic techno, stuff like that. And I think that's the future of it's how it's going to go. Because you got to appeal 50% to the audience and 50% of what's true to you. I think that's just the
great part of being a DJ too, right? You want to give the audience what they want, but you also want to give them a taste of what you are as either a producer or a DJ and what you like. I think it's similar in the production side of things where you could take from what's popular in the trends and like put your twist on it, right? Like
definitely.
Make sure your sound stays true, but you could take from different lanes to help you evolve your sound, but you're still true to your sound at the same time. And I think there's a really great parallel with those two things.
Lesson one of the Academy is that lesson. Exactly. Is that, you know, Pablo Picasso once said, good artists copy, great artists steal, right? And what he means by that is just steal all the things that inspire you. Like if it's melodic techno and dubstep and this, put it together and make it one, because everything that's been created has already been created. There's nothing really new anymore, right? Anything that's new is just a collection of all the things that inspire you put into one thing. And that's the first lesson I give every single student is if you realize that with your music early on, you're set. You're set. You just got to take the things that inspire you, because otherwise you sit there and you're looking at this blank canvas and you're like, oh man, you know, what am I going to make today? How do I start? But no, if you just say, okay, I like techno and dubstep and I'm going to combine them into one, at least you have a path of where you need to go. Now it's a crazy combination. I don't know who would do that, but you know, it could happen. You never know.
I think that's a great, way to finish up. What do you think, Gar?
Yeah, for sure.
Ferrari, man, appreciate you. This is a great convo. It's always, our conversations always inspire and motivate me. So I love when we get to chop it up, especially on the podcast format here.
I'm still on that post-Miami high where I'm just super inspired. I wake up, I come down here and I'm just like, man, what can I do to be better? You know, and whether it's chatting it up with you guys, picking brains, or, you know, just sitting here trying to make music, I love it all.
I think we came home and I never felt more motivated or more focused on exactly what we needed to do as a business to continue to move forward. So, you know, I think that's just part of the Miami effect, right? You get to see all these guys and you're bouncing around and you could taste the success, you know? You could grasp at it and see that, like, you can get there, right?
You can get there. Yeah. You could do it. Anybody can do it. And I think that's like kind of one of the things that I am trying to preach with this course is I don't have any special musical training or talent. All I'm here trying to show you is that if you're a regular guy and you want to do it, you take this course or you DJ with you guys, you can do it. Like, it's possible. And, you know, like you said, just being in that Miami atmosphere, it's like there's something in the air there that, like, during that week that it's just like, man, it's so hard to explain. And you know, there's a reason why so many guys look forward to it. It's because of that effect. And, you know, all my guys are like, all right, I'm ready to coach. Back in the studio, like, let's hit it. And I'm like, shit, well, I don't have that much time. Like, I'm trying to get on that high myself. So, you know, it's been good. It's been fun.
We might need a little mock studio next year down there.
Oh yeah, definitely. There's plenty of room here. I mean, when my wife and I bought this house, I said, there was one rule. I said, when we were looking for a house, I needed a basement for a studio. And I said, this is my room. Everything else in the house, I won't say a thing. You could paint all the rooms pink. I said, but my studio is going to be black, dark, like all the LED lights. I mean, all the lights change different colors. And this is my room. So there's always a spot in the back for you. It's big.
All right, Mikey, appreciate you, man. Is there, if anyone's listening and they want to get involved or they want to work with you, what's the process? What can people do to get into the academy?
Yeah, I mean, right now, like I said, just like the last time, the one-on-one slots are pretty much completely full. I have my guys and I'm really focused on working with them, but there are great ways to get involved in the academy right now. Stay tuned on my socials, whether it's at Ferrari DJ or Ferrari Production Academy. It's at Ferrari Prod Academy. You'll see announcements with, I've been doing a lot of group seminars right now. So we just completed a 6-week course with all brand new students. Basically just intro to music production, chords, music theory. And then obviously in the summer, look out in the summer or, you know, early in the fall for the actual recorded course where I'm going to be selling that. And then, you know, once you pass through that and you kind of get the ropes down and you show me that you want to be involved, there will be spots for one-on-ones. But yeah, shoot me an email at it's info@ferraridj.com. If you have any questions, I'll be, you know, more than happy to answer them. And
we'll link to everything in the show notes.
Make sure to get that in the show notes.
Sweet.
All right, Ferrari, appreciate you, man. Always great conversation. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys for listening to this episode of The Get Down. We'll talk to you guys soon. Peace.
Peace, guys.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Get Down podcast. If you enjoy our show and find the topics entertaining or helpful in any way, we would greatly appreciate if you could subscribe, rate, and review our podcast wherever you listen to it. We want to help more DJs, and subscribing, rating, and reviewing the show is the best way for us to do that. We appreciate all the love so far. Thanks for listening, guys.